Several years ago, I came across a young man studying in the seminary. And it's always good to challenge seminarians, because once you're a priest, you're never challenged. No, but I like to challenge him. But I don't like to challenge him to scare him. I don't like to challenge him to make him feel little. I like to make him think. And this seminarian gave me an opportunity to make him think. When I ran into him, he was wearing a black cassock. Now, those of you that are a little bit younger than 60 might not know what that is. It's a black kind of dress that priests used to wear before Vatican Council. And for some reason, it's making a comeback. And so I really wondered why it was making a comeback. And I thought this was a good opportunity to talk with this young man. And so I went up to him and I said, "I'm just curious." Because it's always good to ask questions, right? Because it doesn't put somebody on the spot. I said, "Why are you wearing a cassock?" I mean, I don't care what he wears. I just wanted to question him. I said, "Why are you wearing a cassock?" And he looked at me very boldly. And he said, "Well, Father, it's my spiritual armor." I said, "Really?" I said, "Would you be able to show me where in the New Testament Jesus talks about us having to wear armor? Or where Jesus put on armor?" And he said, I says, "What is this armor, this spiritual armor, do for you?" He says, "It protects me from the evils of the world." I said, "Really? So that does what your heart should do?" And he didn't know what to say. I said, "Didn't Jesus talk about love is the thing that should protect us? Love is the most important thing, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself, not to fight a war, not to be a warrior, not to wear armor, but to put on," I think Jesus might have said this, he said, "Maybe, put on love." The seminarian shook a little bit. He was, as Deacon Leo says, flustrated. Frustrated and flustered together. Flustrated. But I was happy to see, when he got ordained a few years later, I never saw him in his spiritual armor again. And he said to me, "Thank you. Thank you for questioning me. Because I needed to interiorize my faith. I needed to make my faith stronger inside of my heart. I needed to welcome the love of God into my heart and to do God's will and to share that love with others. This appearance wasn't going to save me. What saves me is my faith and my good works." You see, for 20 years now, since 9/11, we've been in a bunch of wars, haven't we? We've been First Gulf War, Second Gulf War, Afghanistan, and other minor skirmishes here and there. I have a feeling that's affecting our culture. I have a feeling that we're living in this world, in society, where we're being told might makes right. I know we have to defend ourselves. And I value the military. I've preached so many times about the military. I have so many good friends that are in the military, and I so appreciate them and know we need them to defend ourselves. But they'll be the first to tell you. They don't want to ever have to go into a war. They don't want to use weapons to kill people. They want to be about peace. But because society, because it's where we've been living for more than 20 years, it's ingrained in us. And we think that's the right way to live. And Jesus says to his disciples, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are thinking not as God thinks, but as human beings think." And you see, that's the slippery slope that we can fall into. Because our society says this is what we're supposed to do, we kind of say, then that must be God's will. But that's not God's will. Jesus didn't wear armor. He wore a tunic. When his disciples reached for the sword in the Garden of Gethsemane to fend off those that were going to arrest him, what did he say? "Put your sword back in its sheath. The one who lives by the sword will die by the sword." We need to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. And the message of Jesus Christ is to forgive our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. And you know what? That's not exterior, that's interior, because it's hard to do. I don't like those phrases because they're very difficult. If somebody hurts me, I want to hurt them back. If somebody calls me a name, I want to call them a name back. If somebody says something bad, I want to point it out. And I want to win. But it's not about winning and losing. Jesus says, "I've come to bring you eternal life. Believe in my words. Don't believe in the ways of this world." If you ever feel like there's too much dust gathering on your Bible, on your end table, dust it off. Open it up. You know you're allowed to. Open it up to the Catholic epistle, the Catholic letter in the Bible. You know which letter that is? James, the one we heard today. It's called the Catholic Epistle because in it, James writes, we need to have faith, but we need to practice that faith. We need to live our faith. You can't say to somebody who is hungry and cold and naked, "Have a good night. See you next week." Our faith makes us reach out to them and to care for them. James, the epistle of James, each and every one of us can relate to it. We might not be able to quote scripture and verse of the Bible, but if we read the book of James, we'll say, that's the way I'm supposed to be living. I can guarantee you. You won't say, this is hogwash. It's the word of God, but especially telling us how we are to live. And it's not in spiritual armor. It's in blue jeans and tennis shoes. It's in getting calluses on your hand. It's in getting sweat and tears mixed in with our own. This week we had a real tragedy in our school. One of our fathers in the school died suddenly. 38 years old. 6 children. Faithful churchgoer, but in Marne. But they bring their kids into St. Anthony every day. You might have read about it. He was the linesman that was trying to restore power up north. When I went to go see his wife and the kids, she didn't say anything. She just ran up to me and hugged me, and the tears started gushing. Wow. How many times have I experienced that? It's not easy. It's not like I look forward to that. I don't. You don't say, wow, I wish I could do that job. No. But those tears that she shared, those tears of sorrow and loss, of fear, of frustration, I hope we're a little bit overcome with the generous hug and the love that I shared with her. But that's what we're called to do. Not just have faith, but put it into practice. Because it needs to come from our heart. We need to know what the right thing is to do. When I went around to the classes where the 4 kids are in school here, I was very pleased to be the pastor of a Catholic school. Because one of our teachers said something that's now going to be part of my repertoire. She looked at the 4th graders and she said, when your classmate Ty comes back after they bury Dad, you might not know how to treat him. You might be afraid. You might not know what to say. And she looked at him and she says, I can give you one bit of advice. Treat him as your friend. What great advice. She says, maybe he's going to need to have somebody listen. Maybe he's going to want somebody just to play with because he's been home for so long in his house. Maybe he needs somebody who's just not going to talk about this. You just need to listen and be a friend. You know what? When she said that, I said, that's what Jesus would say. And we can each do that. We can each be a friend. We can't let the world dictate how we live and what our children are learning. We live in a world where there's so much bickering. There's so much fighting and arguing about everything. It doesn't seem like any time we can come together, that this doesn't exist. It's all about antagonism, because that's the kind of world we live in. And we as Christians need to stand up and say, no, that's not right. We need to stand up and say, we have to be about love. We have to be about comfort. We have to be about mercy and forgiveness. We have to live the way Jesus wants us to live. We are Christians. We are Catholics. My friends, it's not easy. That's why we have to come to church. Some people say, I don't need to go to church. I can watch it on TV. I can watch it on the internet. Why do I have to go to church? When I was a West Catholic, the kids would say, "Oh, we go to church at school during the week. I don't need to go on the weekend." Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do need to go to church because we need to receive the Eucharist. We need to receive the Eucharist that's going to strengthen us so we can battle against the ways of society that lead us away from the path of Jesus. We need to have the strength to stand up and stand against where society is trying to lead us. And they say we need to be about peace and love, not hatred and animosity. I'm sure a lot of you are watching the news today about 9/11. And you know, that day and the next day, Americans came together. They held hands. They sang. They cheered each other. There was no bickering. There was no backbiting. We worked together. Imagine if we could work together to build the kingdom here on earth. Imagine if we had the strength of the Eucharist, which we will have shortly, to go out and bring about peace and justice to the world, not to bring about condemnation and fighting and revenge. Maybe this 20th anniversary of 9/11 can strengthen us and to change our world. Because we don't want to keep going down the same path. We don't want to be bitter and fighting. But that's so ingrained in us right now. There has to be a time when we say, enough is enough. We're supposed to love as God loves us, unconditionally. We need to be a friend to everybody. And sometimes being a friend means you need to correct them. But we need to be a friend. So we pray today on this 9/11 that we won't hear Jesus' words spoken to us to say, "Get behind me, Satan. For you're not thinking as God thinks. You're thinking as human beings think." Let us pray we can follow what we read in the book of James, that we can have faith and practice that faith in love for one another.